This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 1st. Yay! Episode 1010, brought to you by listeners like you, our auditors. So good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday morning on Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being here. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Glenn. It's a pleasure to be here. And I said, yay, it's October, because in Arizona, we look forward to October.
You know, it shocked me, though, this morning when I woke up. I looked October 1st and went, oh, my God, where'd September go? It's going to be Christmas soon.
Oh, my God, don't say that. I gotta
it really
get my
is.
Tickets. To go visit in-laws. Do you guys, you don't go anywhere for Christmas, do you?
No, but we're getting heavy pressure this year to head back to Pennsylvania to visit the relatives there on Christmas. But you know, it's very difficult when you live in Florida to head to Pennsylvania at Christmas.
Heck yeah.
It's very difficult.
You're not allowed to leave because it's so much snow you can't get home, so then you have to spend the winter in Pennsylvania. That's awful.
We have to get out like the winter coats, which we haven't seen in years, and yeah, you know, it's just everything seems more difficult when you're heading north from Florida in the winter.
Yeah, don't do it.
You don't have a lot of traffic. Nobody else going that way.
Right? That's true. Jennifer would love to take the auto train sometime that goes from Florida to Virginia. It takes us most of the way. But that's not cheap. Trains aren't cheap anymore. I mean, the auto train was never real cheap, but even just a regular train ride isn't cheap anymore.
I can't say that I knew there was an auto train or what an auto train is, but don't worry about me. Carry on.
No, it is kind of cool because it leaves from Virginia and takes you all the way to Orlando, and you bring your car and they load it on the train, and then you get a little sleeper car and dinner and the whole thing. So, and it happens overnight. So you have a nice dinner and then you go in a little sleeper car and you sleep and you wake up and you're at Orlando. So
sounds good. It's like when I went to what they need to do is they need to get one from New York to LA as fast as the ones in Europe. Like when we went to Spain, we got on a train and like an hour later we're across the country. It's crazy how fast those things go. You're going like 150 miles an hour.
Yeah, it would be fun. I mean, Jennifer loves trains. She comes from a train family. Her parents and grandparents worked for the railroad. So, you know, if we could afford it, we'd be doing every one of those fancy, like the one that goes across Canada, the train trip across Canada. That'd be kind of cool.
You know what? I'm just going to hop in a plane and be there in an hour.
Yeah, exactly. But are you coming to Florida anytime over the holidays?
No, not at all. I'm getting heavy pressure to come and visit, and I just told them all no. I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
You're going to stay home this year? You're going to make them all come see you?
Nobody's coming to see me, oddly enough. Nobody wants to come to Phoenix and see me. That's fine. But we are going to go to Oklahoma for Christmas. It's kind of the year. I went to Florida for Thanksgiving last year. I really don't ever want to go back to Atlanta. So, Oklahoma, come visit me for Thanksgiving. I'll make
you. You know, Oklahoma sounds like the kind of place you should be at Christmas, doesn't it? It just sounds perfect.
It's Oklahoma. It's Christmas. It's winter there. It feels very Christmassy. I've stayed in Phoenix for a couple Christmases, and it just doesn't ever give you that warm, fuzzy feeling because you walk outside and it's probably 94 as a high. So it just doesn't seem like a Christmas. So that's why we like to go to Oklahoma, and there's, you know, winter for a couple days anyway.
And Jennifer, being an expert at the song, says apparently Christmas is in the song Oklahoma. So there you go.
No, it's the other way around.
Oh, it's the other way around?
It's in the Christmas song, and I'm trying to remember the title of the Christmas song.
Oh, there's a song.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Well, that sounds like
anyway.
Fun. But we do have a show to do today, and it isn't Christmas yet, so we might as well do it.
Jennifer, what is on today's show? Please tell us.
You know, on today's Holy Crap, it's October already, Wednesday edition, and we have just, for the past 6 minutes, demonstrated where September went. We gabbed it away. As a nod to Holy Crap moments, we will tick off another crappy list to start things off. And then sticking with the theme, David Saunders will be answering Glenn's question of what to do when your carriage pony bolts. And after before we all crap out from the midweek exhaustion, Taryn Atkinson will be taking on listener Mary in a round of celebrity trivia. So stay tuned for the fright, folks.
Hey, I wasn't the only one. I got an email. They must have heard me talking about it on the show on Monday, because I got an email from someone who had the same issue. So we were able to address both of them, and I just thought I'd share that today. I think you'll find it interesting because we talked so much about it on Monday, and it does apply to writers too. So, hey, I wanted to mention something that's very important to our Canadian listeners real quick, is that Canadian official coach and organizer Marie-Helen Lessard died with her husband, Stephen Ratz, in a traffic accident Sunday. Their Jeep was hit by a car at 11 p.m. north of Toronto. The accident claimed the life of the other driver as well. Apparently, the other driver ran a stop sign and T-boned them. She was well known in the equestrian circles up in Canada. She was an advocate in the development of the Canadian coaching program. She competed and ran shows in eventing and dressage. So she was pretty much a leader up there. She had a farm called Equus 3D Equestrian Center. And so for all their families and all of our Canadian listeners who knew her, we're sending our thoughts and prayers out to you.
Absolutely.
Well, my Daily Winnie goes, it's actually a day late because it was yesterday, but we weren't on the air. So happy podcast day, everybody. Yesterday was podcast day, National Podcast Day, and I did post it all on Facebook. If you get a chance today, it doesn't matter that's a day late. If you get a chance today, post on your Facebook page about how much you like Horses in the Morning and post a link to us. We would really appreciate the support and you out there promoting it. Podcasts have become a ton more popular than they were 10 years ago, obviously. People are figuring out how to listen to them. That's the biggest thing. And there's a ton of them. You know, still the numbers are about, and this makes me very proud, the numbers, I saw the latest survey that happened for last year, and 90% of podcasts do not make it past 6 months.
Really?
So, 90%, still 90%. It always has been very high, but I thought that would change a little. But I think people just think it's easy. You know, they get on, they talk for an hour. They don't see the hours of work that happen before and after the show. So we estimate that it takes 6 hours of time in pre- and post-production for every hour of recording that we do. So people don't see that. They don't realize how hard it is to book guests and all of that stuff, and they just fade away. So I'm very proud of the fact that, look at, you know, with our shows, look, we've done 1,010 episodes, and, you know, we don't miss episodes, we don't miss weeks with all the other shows that we do. We're very consistent,
yeah.
One of the things, you know?
It's like that guy that asked me to be a guest on his podcast. He was like, oh, we were going to record it on next Thursday or whatever, and then Wednesday comes, Thursday comes, and he still hasn't contacted me, and he's like, yeah, I'm really not going to do it this week. And it's been like, yeah. That was a month ago, you know, and he hasn't done another episode. So we do get points for consistency for sure.
Well, you don't build an audience doing it that way either. I mean, right. The only way you build an audience is if you're consistent. And the other thing is, you know, and I know this from podcasts I've been listening to for years, if they're a little late, if they're people look forward to it coming out. I'm not saying they look forward to us, Jamie, but I mean other podcasts. So they look forward to it coming out, and if it's not there, they're disappointed, and you can only disappoint them so many times. So, you know, it may not be that we have to be on air like you used to be, where, you know, you had to be there, but you sort of still have to be there. You have to act like you're on air. You really
right.
do. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I didn't need to
not.
Cross the little ties there this morning, but I just it's one of the things I'm proud of.
I am going to be there when California Chrome makes his comeback thundering down the home stretch in the Breeders' Cup Classic to secure his victory for Horse of the Year. And I'm also going to be there when Wise Dan clears the turn on the turf mile and wins the Breeders' Cup turf mile in October/November. And I'll tell you why. Because I just bought Breeders' Cup tickets.
Really?
I'm going to the Breeders' Cup. I'm going. I'm so excited. Did you know that
you're
going to
be one of the drunk people in the infield, or did you get a seat?
First of all, Lord, no. I am way too old to be a drunk person in the infield. I'm not in my 20s anymore, Glenn, and I'm hanging out with a 40-year-old dude. We can't do that. The cheapest tickets you can get are $50 seats. And so, you know, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law live in Los Angeles, and it's at Santa Anita this year, and it's not going to be at Santa Anita, you know, next year. So we decided this was the year. And so, as you guys know, I did not go to the Mucho Macho Man victory, and I've regretted it ever since. So I decided that this is the year I'm going to go. I've got to see Wise Dan run. I want to see California Chrome run. So we got tickets. I'm so excited.
Yay, that's fun.
The seats that are close to the finish line, Glenn, are like thousands and thousands of dollars. So I would like to point out, if you're looking at the grandstand, the finish line is all the way over to the left. I am as far right top as you can get, but by God, I got seats.
Are you going to buy a good pair of binoculars? Well, just have, you know what? You can just have Chad bring them home from work. They got really good ones there. So you need two pairs of really good binoculars. You'll be fine.
He doesn't have binoculars. He's got really good night vision goggles, though.
Well, that'll work.
Why not?
White Dan glowed the whole way.
I'm so excited. He might be in the paddock, and I might be able to get up and take a picture, and I'll be that guy who sticks his arm out and touches the horse as they walk by and then gets bit or kicked out. So it could be me. Yay.
I'm so excited for you. I know. That's really, really cool.
I'm excited.
So
yeah.
We don't have to find somebody to give us a report. You'll be able to. Now, you're going on Saturday, I assume. Saturday, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm not going on Friday. I'm going to go just to the Saturday one. And my in-laws are coming, too. So they will be brother-in-law and sister-in-law. They'll be coming. And they're not horse people at all. And they've never been to Santa Anita. And they've never been to a horse race. So it's like, you know, trial by fire. Just throw them right in the middle of it. Right in the Breeders' Cup. The problem is that they're going to be asking me who they should bet on because I'm the horse expert, and I'm going to tell them that I'm going to bet on this horse. So that means you should definitely not bet on that horse because that horse will not win.
That's sad.
About
your pick.
The luck that I had last time at Santa Anita. The luck, I tell you. Yeah.
When is it anyway?
It is, let's see, the last weekend of the month. So it's actually the Friday the 31st and Saturday the 1st of November.
Okay. We got to start some Breeders' Cup coverage here soon. Got to keep that in mind.
We got a month, and I'm excited. I'm nervous excited. It'd be so cool. I hope Wise Dan goes. He's got to go. I mean, he's just got to. And they're saying this is California Chrome, where he's going to, you know, the Breeders' Cup is either, there's three horses that are vying for Horse of the Year, and pretty much it's going to come down to whoever wins the Breeders' Cup Classic. So, it should be good. It's going to be good. I'm excited.
Very good. I didn't know about that. I'm excited for you.
Now, I'm excited for you, my friend, because you are going to make a television reality show. That's so cool.
Yes, apparently. Next week at the World Percheron Congress, Wendy and I are heading up. And, I got confirmation yesterday from Helena that her and her daughter Grace are definitely going to be there next Tuesday. So if you want to meet Helena from the Stable Scoop Show, you can come on over to the World Percheron Congress at the Big E in Massachusetts and see us next Tuesday. But the incredible Dr. Pohl, who apparently has a TV show on Nat Geo, is going to be there and is going to be competing against Wendy and I in the celebrity driving competition that's happening next. It's Tuesday at 5:00 in the evening. And we got a couple weeks ago in the email, we got releases we had to sign because they're going to film it for his TV show. Now, I've never seen the show, but Wendy was very excited because she's seen it. Have you seen it?
I have. Are you kidding me? A veterinarian on television? Now, the incredible Dr. Pohl is actually, I must tell you that I was excited that it was an equine vet, but he's actually just a large animal vet, and he does everything. And the day that I turned on the show for the first time, he was suturing up a pig's vulva. So needless to say, I turned it off. I didn't need to see that. But he has actually had some pretty cool stuff on there. But he's really a down and dirty kind of vet. Like, he is old school. He's Dutch. He speaks with an accent. And what was really neat was his son worked for Nickelodeon. And they were trying to come up with a reality show. And so he pitched a couple different reality shows, and none of them got selected. They were like, we want a character that is larger than life. And he's like, you got to do a show about my dad. And that is how the incredible Dr. Pohl became a TV show. His son worked for Nickelodeon and was like, do a show about my dad. And now it's done 4 seasons already. So it's really cool. And he's a super nice guy. I can't say that I'm a huge fan of all his veterinary practices, but to each his own, and I don't have to hire him. So I just get to watch him do things to animals without any sort of pain medication.
We'll get to meet him and compete against him next week. Now, I hope the incredible Dr. Pohl doesn't win the award that we donated for the celebrity driving class, because we donated the award for the worst celebrity driver.
No, I want him to win it, because that means you didn't.
Oh, that's true. That's true, but it's the only award I have a chance of winning, see, is the worst celebrity driver, which is why we donated a trophy for that.
Now, Glenn, I think it's most important, Glenn, to get on the TV show. So let's talk about how you're going to do that. Because
by winning the worst driver?
Yeah, basically, winning the worst driver is obvious. But you need to do something with a splash. Loose Percherons, a runaway cart, whatever we
flip
can
it over.
Do. Yeah, flip it, run into Dr. Pohl. That will get you on there. You know,
something. You could do a Ben Hur. Get up close to him and ring his wheels. Yeah.
T-bone Dr. Pohl, something like that to make it, you know, to make sure you get on that show. Your job, Glenn, is not to win the best or the worst. It is to make it onto that television show. Do you understand?
Yeah, so would I be allowed to trash talk Dr. Pohl, do you think?
You stuff like
that. Yeah.
Say it like that, but it's a very family friendly show. Aside from stitching up pig vulvas, it's family friendly. So you need to watch your language, but trash talk, whatever you can do, just get on the show. That's your job.
Right.
Get on the show.
Right. Well, I signed the waiver, so apparently I'm still allowed at the event. So that's good. Wendy and I both signed our waivers, so we might
they
be
might
on the
not.
Show.
They might not let you there if they hear this, what I just said. Sorry. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Hey, we did have a question or two about this post on our Facebook page. Yes, the celebrity driving is 5:00. We'll be doing the morning show at 9, the driving radio show live for the first time at 2:00 in the afternoon from there. And you're welcome to stop by and see us, hang out, be on the show with us. We'll try and get some of our listeners on. And then the 5:00 in the evening is the celebrity driving competition. And then immediately following that is their big event. They put on a big, the Percheron Thunder, the guy who rides Roman rides at 8 percherons, and they have 6 horse hitches, they have the barrel racing that night. So there's a big show that night that we're all going to hang around for. So if you want to sit with us in our little section, you can do that, and we'll announce on our Facebook page exactly where we're going to be set up. We don't know yet. So that's going to be fun.
Cool. Very cool. It's going to be a lot of fun. You and Dr. Pohl. That's awesome. Well, hey, we have a list here, Glenn, of the types of horses that we have. And I'm pretty sure Jennifer and I have owned all of these. And I don't know where this list came from, but it is it's a pretty let's see, it touches every end of the equine spectrum as far as horse ownership. So let's start with number one. This is the horse that you will find on Craigslist for free or almost free, and you go and look at him, much like Scooter, and you feel sorry for them because they're skin and bones. And this horse is called the Hard Keeper. Now, the people that are trying to sell him will spin you a story saying they rescued him last month, they put a bunch of weight on him already, you should have seen what he looked like. But in reality, they've owned this horse since birth and invested their whole life savings in putting weight on him. They finally decided to cut their losses when they had to file bankruptcy because they couldn't keep the horse fed. And you're going to find this out after you go through your retirement savings. This is Edward.
Sure.
I feed that horse an ungodly amount of food, like, and now he's on the Purina Ultium, like not the $20 a bag horse feed, the $35 a bag horse feed, plus beet pulp, plus he's on the Omega Alpha supplements, plus he's now on the Redmond Rock, the clay that you feed.
And people calling the Humane Society.
Yes, and I'm like, I swear, he eats so much alfalfa. There's a basically free choice alfalfa, pure alfalfa in front of this horse all day long. And it's like I do nothing. Seriously, people drive by and they're like, oh, my God, they need to feed that horse. It's embarrassing. I was at the horse show and I was like, I got to keep the saddle on him because people are going to say that I'm not feeding him. And I swear to God, On the opposite end of the spectrum, we have a horse like Beaker. That stays fat on air. The easy keeper, they call him. The horse that everyone who has a hard keeper wishes it was. We have one of those, and he's a pony. The rest of the horses I have to feed a ton. This is why you don't have thoroughbreds. Oh, God.
Yeah, we're lucky that way with both of them, the pony and Beaker.
You know,
they're both easy keepers.
To tell you the truth, because I've had the thoroughbred, you know, I've had the hard keeper too, I worry more about the fatty.
Yeah.
I didn't worry so much about my skinny thoroughbreds. They're skinny. They eat a lot. Just keep shoving food at them. But, the consequences of being the fatty is like, oh, my God, I'm going to break him. He's going to founder. He's going to die. I worry a lot about that.
That's a good point. Yeah, you know, I don't worry about that here. All I worry about is not feeding the pony. You know, like, basically, I take food away from him. But other than that, yeah, it is. You're right. That probably is a bigger worry because
it's a bigger worry, but it's a hell of a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Jamie worries whether she can pay her electric bill.
Yeah.
Says the horse husband. You may worry, but hell, it's a lot cheaper.
I'm not buying $40 a bag grain.
Yeah. So. Hey, by the way, don't tell Chad that. Because I didn't tell him how much it is. I'm like, hey, we're trying this grain. He's like, okay.
Okay.
And then the girls that my students were feeding, and I was like, do not drop a nugget. Do not drop a pellet of that grain. Seriously.
If it says premium on the bag, or if it says, you know, for hard keepers or anything like that on the bag, you know it's expensive. That's the rule.
When it says Ultium in gold, on the bag, don't spill it.
You need gold to buy it. Is what that means.
Yeah. The next one is Mr. Tender Toes, and the description is all you have to do is think of the word rock, and your horse limps on cue. Now you learn all about wedge pads, egg bars, laminitis, navicular. You spend your time riding the couch while your friends are out riding their horses because your horse is lame every day. The weather is nice, and on weekends. We've owned those horses, and I know in particular one of our listeners that is listening right now that might have Mr. Tender Toes because I see her Facebook post.
Bless you, by the way.
waiting on the vet. So pretty is pretty does. And I've owned those too. And it seems like the more chrome your horse has, the more they're Mr. Tender Toes or Mrs. Tender Toes.
You know,
and
that's true. I never thought about that. But Scooter's got chrome on all four legs, and he cannot walk on a rock. It's like he's like going to die.
Yeah.
I never thought about the chrome part.
Yeah, it goes down to their feet and gets their feet white. But the mare that I fostered, who is now in another foster, is now in a home. I fostered her.
Hey, wait a minute.
She,
you never told us the mare has left.
The mare has left. She has left.
Oh, wow.
She's I'm trying her out at somebody's house to make sure she's the right one. She may come back. But anyway, her name was Penny, and Penny is what I didn't want to tell them is Penny is Mrs. Tender Toes. So good luck with that.
Well, you got a lot of sand. You're fine.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be all right. The next one is the Alpha Mare, which Miss Penny was not the Alpha Mare. She was actually really, really sweet. But the Alpha Mare is the description is, why get married to a person when you can have the Alpha Mare? She's a control freak and always wants her way, and she's an emotional roller coaster. Very, very true. Have you guys had a mare that was just like, oh, she's a mare today, she must be in heat, where you thought she was in heat all the time? She must be in heat.
Jennifer, we've had a few, haven't we, over the years?
Yeah, little bits was bite like that. When little bits
was
cranky, my gosh.
Yeah, it was about a 13 or 14 hand pony, and she ruled the roost. She didn't pull around with that one.
I love the last line. After owning this horse, you will swear you will never own another mare again.
Yes, and we've had a few friends like that. They've owned that Alpha mare. Yep.
I love that I have a combination of these horses. The Scaredy Cat. This horse is afraid of everything, including his shadow. Edward is afraid I will bring out a bag of carrots. And he is so scared of the bag, but he so wants the carrots. And it's just like, you can't, he's fighting internally. You can see the devil on one shoulder and the angel Edward on the other shoulder. And he's like, come and get the carrots. But don't, it's a bag. Don't go. Yeah, so he will spook just to spook. And he's even got a great imagination of finding things to spook at. Our pasture is next to our neighbor who has cows and goats. So Edward actually shares a fence line with cows, goats, and sheep. Yet I go on the trail around the neighborhood, and there's some goats that we have to pass. And, oh, dear God, you'd think he'd never seen a freaking goat before. I'm like, you live next to goats. there's different goats.
Different goats.
So I don't know why different goats are so different, but the Scaredy Cat. Then Mrs. Accident Prone, which we already kind of went over when I was telling you about Penny and her tender toes. The horse that always gets hurt. And, you know, they get a cut, like a tiny little cut, and it becomes like a vet bill, where like a tiny little cut on another horse is just clean it out and put some Fearson on it, you know. Have you guys had that one?
I think that's the way with kids, too. I've heard, you know, anytime you have more than, like, two or three kids in the household, you're going to always have that one that's always sick and always getting hurt and just total accident-prone one. Same way with kids.
Yeah, I think you're right. The experienced rider required. This is the horse that likes to buck, bolt, rear, kick, and bite all at the same time while under saddle. And he will make you appreciate every time you get off, you dismount, as opposed to involuntarily dismount, basically. he's the one that has made air vests possible.
Yeah, I had that one.
Jennifer has owned a few of those. When I met her, she had one of those.
I just Helena loved to tell this story. I let her. I had one. The most recent one, the last one I had, was named Hazelnut, and I let Helena ride Hazelnut. Now, I'd only known Helena for maybe 3-6 months. I hadn't known her for very long, but felt very confident of her riding capabilities because we rode together on almost a daily basis. So I let her hop up on Hazelnut one day, and we were in the riding arena, and it was a tiny little riding arena, about the size of a small dressage arena. And she's going around, she's having a good time, and it was time to, you know, be done and unpack and move on to the next task. And she's going around and going around. I'm kind of trying to be subtle, like, okay, it's time to stop and get off. Okay, yeah, I'll be done now, because she was having a great time. And then finally, about the fifth time around at a walk, and she, with this scrunched up look on her face, she said, I can't get her to stop, Jen. How do you make her stop? She was walking and she couldn't make her stop. I said, well, if she's in that kind of a mood, you just have to get off at a walk. Some days there's just no stop. You just jump off.
You had to get on that horse at a run, pretty much. You had to mount that horse. You just basically got in the back of the pickup truck and drove it beside the horse, and then Jennifer would leap on. That's how you got on that horse.
Not being able to stop a horse at a walk is that's an amazing horse. What that is.
The reason that horse is named Hazelnut.
Well, a lot of us have started with the experienced rider required, and fortunately, a lot of them, like Jet used to be the experienced rider, but now he's super easy to ride, and I've put some kids on him, and he's great, you know. But it seems like every horse I get starts out as that, you know. The escape artist lives on my property, and this is the pony who he'll introduce you to your neighbors. He'll introduce you to animal control and maybe even the police.
Yep. They're most always ponies, escape artists.
Yes. Yeah. This is the pony that when I had just had Lucas, and I was actually up at about 4 a.m. feeding him, you know, and you never want to hear that knock on the door at 4 a.m. Oh, it's just
no,
never.
It's never good.
And they never knock gently. It's a bang, 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 bang. And having the baby, it scared the Jesus out of me. And so I'm like, Jack, get up, get up, get up. Because, of course, he slept through all the feedings. But I go to the front door, and Chad and I go to the front door, and, you know, you see the lights flashing outside. I'm like, oh, God. And, of course, it was, do you have a white horse? And I was like, no, I don't have a white horse. Thank you very much. I have a white pony. And they were like, whatever. It's in the road. I was like, oh, God. I thought I was going to get away with it. No, I don't have a white horse. I have a white pony. And, it was a pony. And at least this time he didn't let his friends out. Because usually he'll open his door and then open everybody else's door. So he's really helpful like that. But this time he opened his own door and left the property. Because now he can open the front gate, too. So that's
they can do amazing things with their lips, can't they? They can just do amazing things with their lips, the escape
really artists. Really is. Two more for you. Number nine is the stable vice master. This is the horse that might crib, weave, or pace, or do a combination of
all of them at the same time.
Right,
yeah. Exactly. We have one on our farm right now. Yeah.
Yep. The pacing, good news is, it's going to break down all the manure, so you barely ever have to clean a stall. And the cribbing is going to save you money on teeth floating. And the weaving is the good news, because your horse is going to stay in shape. So, yay. That is trying to look on the bright side.
I cribbing bothers me, but I think watching a weaver bothers me the most. I don't know.
Never give me another weaver. Never, ever, ever.
Just looking at them, they just look so miserable all the time.
Yeah, my warm blood was a weaver, and he only weaved at horse shows. So he goes, he didn't really stay in the stall much, but he was the kind of horse you have to leave out. Now, Jet is a stall walker, and he just walks circles. That is, to me, worse watching, because you're like, wow, you are displaying your crazy right now. And like, he has worn I had to get stall mats for him, because he wore a circle path in the stall so much, down and down and down. So he's like a foot lower than all the other horses, because he just walks constantly. He looks like he's 14 hands when you're walking by the barn, because he's walking in the circle, like in the tread, that track that he's made. So that one is it's sad to watch any of those, actually. It kind of sucks.
Yeah.
The last and final one is the bomb-proof babysitter. And I have to read the description. This is the horse everyone talks about. He's the reason why you wake up every day and shovel poo. This is the horse that has kept you from throwing in the towel and screaming F it all and going back to collecting briar horses. He makes it all worthwhile. But he is as elusive as the magical unicorn. Good luck in finding him in this lifetime. Yeah.
Yeah, not too many of the 7-year-old bomb-proof babysitters out there. They're normally 20 in three legs. Yeah.
We have two bomb-proof babysitters, but you're right. They're both 20 years old. So you're good luck. All right, well, that's our list. This is really sad because looking over this list, I really need to work on getting more number 10s and less number 7s.
Everybody's goal, Jamie. It's not just
everybody's goal.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for our sponsor, Equestrian Collections, with their product of the week, and then we'll go into an audio that I recorded with David Saunders yesterday, who's been a guest here many times on our show. Of course, he was the coachman to the Queen for many years, and he co-hosts the Driving Radio Show once a month, and this is his week. So I had an email from a listener about bolting, and she must have heard the show on Monday because she sent an email in about bolting, and she had the same problem that I did over the weekend with her carriage pony or horse. And David addressed both of our situations and told us what to do, and I know we have a lot of drivers in the audience listening, and this is our biggest fear is bolting, so he addresses that and talks about it, and then we're going to play that right after this word from Equestrian Collections. Then we're coming back. I have another list here for you. And then we also have the Equity MFG Trivia Challenge coming up. Who's playing today? We have Taryn Atkinson, who's an inventor out of California. That's the one where the shows you go to, right?
Yes, they own her and her husband own Copper Meadows, and it's James and Taryn. And apparently Taryn suffered a head injury off of falling off a horse. So James has decided that she's going to play because it'll be funny. So I don't know. This is husband-wife love.
Thrown her under the bus.
Yep. So we'll see. I don't know which one's going to play. They are actually driving to Woodside right now, California. So we shall see. But they're both a lot of fun. So either way, it'll be great.
All right. Very good. We'll be back.
Everybody, Coach Jen here, and I'm with Debbie from Equestrian Collections, and she's got the much-anticipated Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week, I'm going to be featuring an old friend with a new twist. Well, new to me, anyway. This is the Iridian Synergy Tights. Now, I've talked about the Synergy Breeches before, about how comfortable they are. They are a blend that Iridian has come out with and came out with that has some pieces of these breeches are cadence and some are the material that they use, and they put it all together in one. And that's great. But what they've added, they've had it for a while, but I just got some. And so, I never feature anything that either I haven't used or somebody that I know has used. And I'm telling you, this is the most comfortable top I have ever seen. They're like yoga pants, only they're riding. They have a top that is very, very soft, and it comes in different colors. And it's like the breeches are their mid-rise, but this top can either make them a little bit higher or you can fold it over. But what it is, it's the most comfortable tight I have ever had on, and very, very stylish looking because you can get it with the colors on the top. It's called a contrast waistband. These you can just not even beat these tights for comfort and style they're just wonderful. So I know all of your listeners know about Iridian and how wonderful that brand is in their breeches and tights. They're probably familiar with the Synergy, but I don't know if they're comfortable or know about the ones with the waistband. So take a look at the Iridian Synergy tights on our website. They're not too expensive. Some of the Iridian breeches are much more expensive, and they're worth it. But these are a little bit less expensive, and there are some closeouts and some of the older colors still available. So take a look at those. I think you're going to really, really, really enjoy them. They're very stretchy. All of the Iridian stuff is very stretchy, so it covers a multitude of sins.
Iridian Synergy Tights, they're available for ladies and children. Check them out today at EquestrianCollections.com.
Well, now we do have a question from a listener, and this is from Teresa in Idaho. Wanted to hear from you. She said, I drive a Shetland pony, about 14 hands, named Millie. I have had her and been driving her for 4 years with little or no drama. The other day when I was driving in the woods, something spooked her, and she bolted like a rocket. It was the wildest ride I've ever had. When it happened, I didn't know what to do, as this had never happened to me before. What should you do when a horse bolts? And, David, I got to tell you, I was driving my little rescue, Hackney, over the weekend. We were on the roads through the neighborhood here. Jennifer was riding her horse. And we were trotting. Jennifer was trotting behind me, and some horses came flying down through the woods in a farm right next to the road and spooked my pony. And this is the first time he's ever bolted. Now, you know, fortunately, there were no cars coming because he bolted into the left lane, which I don't know why they always seem to do that, but they do. And, you know, I managed after about 200-300 yards to get him under control. I'd love for you to answer the question, and then I want to see if I did it right.
Well, like all of these answers, there's no simple answer. It all depends what causes the horse to run away. Generally, it's some sort of spooking.
Which is the case with this lady, girls, and my ponies in that case.
Well, yes, it depends what causes it to spook. But, of course, basically, it's normally and almost always is driver error. You should be paying attention all the time. And normally these runaways happen when the reins are too loose. So you really need to be aware of what's going on around you. But if all that fails and the horse is running away, there are several things you can do. You can actually try to turn the horse, but not too sharp. It all depends on how much the horse is, or pony is running away. If you've got no feeling at all, you really need to try and stay in a straight line. I remember years ago when I was training for the Queen, I was driving four horses at Sandringham, on the estate in Sandringham, and they have these propane guns that keep the pigeons off the crops, and they'd been told, the farmers, to keep them well off the tracks, but someone had left one right by the track, and this cannon went off right by the horses. But I was right next to a ploughed field, so I just swung the four horses into the ploughed field and actually cracked them on the arse with the whip to make them go, and they soon stopped running away. Of course, you can't always do that, but try to turn, try to talk to the horse. Remember that to stop a horse or to control a horse, 50% is the release. So you have to pull on the rein, but you also have to let it go. So, and really that's a tough thing to do sometimes, is to, you know, when a horse is running away, you want to kind of hang on for grim death. But if you can, in a straight line, try to release the reins a little bit so the horse kind of relaxes its jaw a little bit and then take it back again, that's another thing you can do. But if all else fails, then really you need to turn into a hedge or something like that to stop the horse. It all depends on how the horse or pony's running away. But generally, the best thing to do is try to avoid those things. But of course, what we do with horses is we're at the mercy of our surroundings, and things always can go wrong. And so you have to be prepared all the time. But the biggest thing you can do is try to be aware of what's going on and don't be surprised.
Yeah, I didn't see these, in my case, I didn't see these horses coming. They just barreled down, and they were coming through woods. So Lord knows what it sounded like to the pony, you know. It sounded like a bear, I'm sure, to him.
And believe you me, you can speak to Chester Weber, Michael Freund, Isbrand Chardon, Cose de Ronde. Everyone has had a runaway at one stage. Everyone. We were talking earlier on about poor Leslie having a bit breaking. I was driving a pair and a bit broke. I was only training at the time, but luckily the other horse kind of stopped the young horse. But, you know, anything, lots of different things can cause the runaway. But the worst thing you can do is to try to join in the fervor of the thing, you know, because the horse is normally frightened. And if you start screaming and shouting and other people start screaming and shouting, that's really you just add to the mix and the horse gets even more frightened. So you have to really try to stay calm and try to talk to your horse and try to, good boy, good girl, whatever the horse's name is or pony's name is, try to talk to it. And as I say, try to release the reins. Don't just hold on for grim death.
Which is hard to do when your adrenaline's pumping.
Exactly. But you have to think outside the box. That's really what tends to happen is. But, you know, if the horse starts to bolt, you squeeze on the reins really hard. The blood drains out the horse's mouth, you know, on its gums and on its tongue and everywhere else like that. It doesn't feel anything. And so you're pulling against nothing. So you really have to try and release to get that blood going, even if it's just for a couple of seconds, and then take a pull again.
And it's hard because it's hard because you're obviously adrenaline's going, and like in my case, that's the first time in 20 years I had a horse bolt on me. So you don't get much practice. It's not something you practice all the time.
Well, and the other problem with having a carriage behind it is that, you know, the if it's a two-wheeler, it's liable to tip over. If it's a four-wheeler, it's liable to fishtail. So you have the other added complication of, you know, pulling this lump of wood and iron that's strapped on the horse. But as I say, if both you people, I don't know whether Teresa, she didn't really say how she survived, but she said it was a wild ride, but hopefully her and the pony survived quite well. But, and again, the other thing to do is to, you know, literally, metaphorically, get back on the horse again and start driving it again, because if you don't, you kind of lose, you know, the horse will lose so much confidence.
Well, that's what happened here. And what I managed to get the pony stopped, and the way I did it, it's interesting what you said. It, you know, we were probably 200-300 yards down the road at this point. I managed to get him to turn away from the ditch in the woods that he was heading towards. I did, now that you're saying that, I realize I did release. You know, I was pulling pretty hard at first because I got caught off guard. Everything you said that you weren't supposed to do, I did, because I was sort of half paying attention. You know, it was all of that you said was true.
Yeah.
Because they kind of do get you into a sense of, you know, we were just out for a Sunday morning drive and nothing, you know, nothing exciting was happening. But then, you know, I did manage to get him by saying, instead of saying whoa, which is what I was saying before, I said, he knows the command walk, from a trot to a walk. And when I said walk, I could see his light bulb come back.
Right.
You know, he had totally lost it before then.
Right.
But when I said walk, his light bulb came back on. And then I was able to seesaw, a very slow seesaw with the reins a little bit, and got his attention back.
And that's it. Also, what you did was, the other thing that I kind of touched on but really probably didn't explain so much is, you know, generally it's your own horse, so you know the horse's body language. If the horse is really, as you said, the light had gone off, you know, there was no talking to it, the horse goes rigid like a poker and it's not hearing or seeing or doing anything, you have to try and divert its attention by doing something else. And you did the right thing and read the animal's body language and then try to work on it when the animal shows some sign of resistance or not resisting, as it were.
Well, I managed to get him stopped, and of course I was the only one in the cart, and Jennifer came. We had a second bolt because Jennifer came up and she was trotting on her horse. Well, he heard that coming up behind him, and he took off again. I managed to get him stopped much quicker that time, and she came around a long way and managed to get in front of him.
There's two main causes. There's either sight or sound, which causes the horse to run away. Now, it sounds like yours was a sound issue.
Yep. And he is a Hackney, and I think he was trained as a roadster,
right,
early on, which, you know what they do with the sound issues with them.
Right.
Which
they plug their ears, yeah.
Yeah, and of course they make a lot of sounds too. And I think he does have a problem with sounds behind him, and we've been working on doing some desensitization training out of harness with that. But yeah, we have some more work to do. He's not parade ready yet.
So, but the other thing to do is to you know, what I would advise with your horse is to talk to him more. You know, because what tends to happen is that whenever I give people lessons, you know, I say, you know, say something to your horse, communicate with it, because, you know, we have several contacts with the horse. We have a physical contact through the reins and the bit and the whip, and we have a vocal communication, and we also have this ethereal kind of communication. But a lot of people don't, they just want to rely on the physical contact, whereas just like Leslie Brendel, she said to her horse, steady boy, whoa, stop, stand still, and he did it. So what I would recommend for you is to try to talk to your horse more while you're driving it, you know, and get the horse more. And if another noise is taking his attention away, increase your noise. Good boy, good girl, or whatever, you know. So that your animal's listening to you rather than listening to the noise.
That's a good point. And I don't talk to them enough probably when we drive.
No, and it's this, and this comes from the riding world. You know, the ridden dressage people are really, and I've taught a lot of people to drive that have come from the ridden dressage world, and they really have a problem because they have to be so quiet all the time.
Yeah, they're not allowed to talk to them.
They're not allowed to talk, but actually talking to your horse, communicating to your horse is really a boon in competition driving, especially when you're driving a multiple, because you need to connect with those leaders that are 22 foot away from you.
Very good, David. I appreciate that, and I hope we helped Teresa out a little bit as well, and I hope it all ended well.
Hi, Fiona Crawford here, and I'm an official Horse Radio Network auditor. I'm a horse photographer based in the UK, and when I'm editing my images, I listen to a vast selection of great programs provided by the Horse Radio Network. Both informative and really entertaining. I think it's worth a few dollars or pounds of anyone's money. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner. And for as little as a dollar a month, you too can become an official Horse Radio Network auditor.
That was You Inspire Me by Stephanie Quayle. You can find all of her music at stephaniequayle.com. She is, of course, the musician for Road to the Horse. She has a lot of terrific songs. You can also find them on iTunes. I'm Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen, all three of us here today. And we are Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. Thank you for joining us this morning. And good morning, everybody. Well, we started something last week where we found some headlines that we thought were funny when you just read the headlines. You have some more of those today, don't you?
I do. I can't tell you how much this has been a lot of fun to look through these and to find these stories. I'll just start. Let me just tell you that scientists have zero sense of humor, but we are going to find the sense of humor in these scientific studies. Okay. Let's see. This one just sounded weird, so I'll start with the kind of basic one here. This is from a science magazine. Horse gait controlled by genetic mutation spread by humans.
What?
G-A-I-T-S. Horse gaits controlled by genetic mutation. Spread by humans. Doesn't that sound like some sort of like monstrous genetic mutation disease is happening?
Yes, I picture a sci-fi movie. I picture Pegasus.
Exactly. That's Pegasus. Oh, sadly, I didn't think of Pegasus. But it sounds like genetic mutation spread by humans. Basically, the story goes on to say that new research reveals that the way that a horse moves is controlled by basically selective breeding, but not at all.
Not what this title says.
Oh, I love this one. This one is out of Michigan State University. Michigan, stick with me. Michigan. The title, the headline is: Livestock are beating the pandas to the bamboo buffet. Livestock are beating pandas to the bamboo buffet in Michigan.
In Michigan.
So apparently somewhere in the world that horses and pandas run wild together, the horses are eating the bamboo and the pandas are like supposed to be eating it. So it doesn't, the story doesn't even go on to say where this is happening. It says that it's happening in most of the world's biodiversity hotspots. Where do horses and pandas run wild together? Certainly not in Michigan.
China would be the only place I can think of. I didn't know horses liked bamboo.
That's what I was thinking. Our neighbor has bamboo to keep out the other neighbors, and they have horses. So I don't know.
Yeah, we have bamboo. And bamboo is the most insidious stuff. I mean, it just grows like crazy.
Yeah.
With one bamboo shoot, you'll have 50 by the time you're done. It'll be 80 feet tall.
So maybe I can plant that to keep my neighbors out.
Yes.
Now,
snack occasionally, apparently, or your panda.
I guess we could have wild. Maybe if I plant bamboo, wild pandas will show up.
Show up.
Like the gophers.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll have thousands of pandas running around. This is a sad story, but it's really poorly written. And this is from the it's a horse industry news, okay? Sad, but just listen to the title. Oregon horse drowns on the beach. Wouldn't an Oregon horse drown in the water?
The water? Yeah. Near the beach?
I've got to read this story because it just doesn't make any sense. And this is the entire news story that came from Horse Industry News. A horse is dead after falling and drowning on an Oregon beach. Richard Wyckoski, spokesman from the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department Communications and Research Division, because that's a job, said a group of riders were on a beach near Bullard's Beach State Park in Bandon when one of the horses fell and was unable to rise. The horse, this is the quote from Wolkowski. The horse was reportedly an older animal that was in poor health, although this is not confirmed. The horse fell close enough to the ocean that the surf washed the animal into the water and then it drowned. The owner later removed the animal from the beach. So let me get this straight. So the horse fell and the owner just watched the tide come in? Like, wouldn't you think you might do something?
Yeah, there's more to that story.
Yes.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a bit more to that story. It doesn't make any sense how the horse fell on the sand and the tide came in and took him out and drowned. It doesn't make any sense. So, weird story. And then finally, my last exciting news story. This is from Case Western. Case Western. New species of horse discovered. Yeah, 4.4 million years old.
Oh. An old species of horse, not a new species of horse.
Not a new species of horse. A very, very 4.4 million-year-old species of horse was discovered. So I love that it says new species of horse discovered. And, like, there's a comma, and then it says 4.4 million years old. In case you want to hear about the 4.4 million-year-old horse that was brand new, researchers have discovered a new species of fossil horse from 4.4 million-year-old fossil-rich deposits in Ethiopia, about the size of a small zebra, Uraganathohippus woldigabreli. How about that? Had three toed hooves and grazed the grasslands and shrubby woods from the Afar region. So there you go. Those are my fun...
I could not have gone throughout the day without knowing that, Jamie. My day would not have been complete.
You know, I like to kill time. That's what we like to do.
Hey, what,
we're waiting
what,
for a guest.
Yeah, well, what, they're ready here, but I got to tell you this real quick. It ties in. This is in England, and the headline was "Man Caught Riding Horse Home from the Pub." I just wanted to bring this story up because we're not the only ones that have drunk riders. This guy was at the pub in Wales. He's 52 years old. His name's John Thomas. And he apparently, you know, brought his horse. And then we always have these stories in the United States. And the police pulled him over, trotting his horse on the way home, because apparently there's an 1872 licensing act that states a person can be fined or face a prison sentence for up to a month if caught drunk in charge of a carriage horse, cattle, or a steam engine. Now, that's not something that you see every day, is a drunk guy in a steam engine. But apparently he got pulled over and he's facing a fine of 50 pounds. So there you go.
No.
Not only in the United States, we have it there, too.
Yeah.
We're not alone.
We have a bar down about a couple miles from my house that has a hitching post. I'm like, that is just a bad idea. It's just a bad idea.
Well, there is a good idea, and it's...
It's time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, where each week a different unsuspecting world-renowned celebrity equestrian is pitted against a humble Horses in the Morning listener, willing to risk it all for a prize package or a nod of approval from one of the greats from the equestrian universe. Now, let the battle of equestrian acuity begin.
That's right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge, and we're going to meet our celebrity here in 1 second, right after we talk about the best manure forks in the whole world, and that is the Equity Forks. Whether you want the flexin' fork or the shaken fork, either way, you're going to be really, really happy. I would say, I'm guessing that a good quarter of our audience now owns these and uses them every day. We've never heard anything bad about them. People love them. If you clean less than three stalls a day, get yourself the flexin' fork. If you clean paddocks, go for the flexin' fork. It is super. It has a built-in suspension system so that you won't get poop in the face when you're cleaning the paddocks. No more flicking problem, and they're pretty much indestructible. And then if you clean more than three stalls a day, like some of our listeners do, you're going to want the Shaken Fork. It does all the work for you. Yeah, it's a little bit more expensive, but it will save you half your bedding and half the time. You press the trigger, it shakes, and it does the work for you. It's so fast and so easy to use. You can find both of those terrific forks at equitymfg.com. Order one today. You will never go back to the cheap ones ever again. You'll just never go back. You'll love them. Well, Jamie, why don't you introduce our celebrity this week?
Our celebrity this week is the lovely, talented, and beautiful Taryn Atkinson from Copper Meadows. Good morning, Taryn.
Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. I don't realize how bizarre it is doing commercials for manure forks until people are on hold.
Yeah, right.
And, like, don't quite get the idea of what we're doing here, but this is the only radio show on the planet that advertises manure forks, and we're very proud of them. So thank you for sponsoring.
I thought that was great. No more flicking problems. I was into that. That was super.
I know you were. I actually was using my Shaken Fork at Copper Meadows, and it's kind of popular, so people love to use it and borrow it. So there you go. Well, Taryn, thank you for joining us. I hear two things. Number one, you are on your way to Woodside. I believe your husband is in the driver's seat, and you are not driving, thank God, because you just recently had a head injury?
I did, yes, unfortunately, at Twin Rivers. My horse slipped, and down we went, and so now I've got a concussion. I'm sitting in the passenger seat for a while, but that's all right. I get to be driven around. It's like having a chauffeur.
Well, you know what? Your chauffeur actually did kind of throw you under the bus. He said that you should go because since you had a head injury, it might be funny to ask you trivia questions.
Oh, my gosh. Rude. That's husband love right there.
Yes, it is. That is husband love for sure. Well, so do you have to, the way that head injuries work at horse trials, do you have to sit this one out or can you ride?
Yeah, there's actually a medical suspension for 21 days. So, wow. I mean, I'm voluntarily sitting out for sure because I still get a little dizzy, and that's probably, listening to the story of the guy who got a ticket for riding home drunk from the pub, that would probably be me. I would be getting a ticket for reckless riding for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you win today, we'll put in a good word for you because, you know, you'll have to be mentally cognizant to win today, right? So
that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm powering through. I've got a handicap here.
Although your competitor Mary Farr is sitting there going, "Yes, I'm playing somebody with a head injury. I have a chance."
And why don't you go ahead and introduce Mary Glenn? Believe it or not, you guys, I have the husband has already gone to work. Let me just, so Taryn, your favorite child is here sitting on my lap, and his television show just ended, and so I need to go restart Yo Gabba Gabba. Google that one if you want to kill yourself.
Oh, the baby.
I know, it's your baby. So talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back. We're going to go watch the farm episode of Yo Gabba Gabba. I'll be right back.
All right, Taryn, you're going to be playing today. Somebody we did a listener highlight on not too long ago here on the show, Mary Farr. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you doing?
Terrific. Now, you're an eventer, too, aren't you?
No, I'm a dressage rider.
Oh, well, we'll forgive you for that, Mary.
oh, thanks.
Well, you know, you're sort of, you got the first phase of eventing down.
You got it. You got it.
All you need to do is add a little jumping, and you'll be right there with them, Mary.
There you go. Except my mare won't step over the dressage ring. She thinks that jump is too high.
Oh, well then, okay. Well, yeah, I feel like dressage is a good
idea. I'm a dressage rider.
Sure. Where are you from, Mary? Remind everybody.
I am in Northeast Florida, St. John's County, home of St. Augustine.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're not too far from us. You're only
we're neighbors.
4 hours from us. Cool. You've been living through, and this is going to kill Taryn here, you've been living through the torrential rains we've been having all summer long
here in Florida. Over 8 inches last month, over eight inches in September.
Yeah, it's just been raining every day. So Taryn's out there giving sense of that to us, please.
Yeah, eight inches is our yearly rainfall.
Oh, Kyle.
We had
can't believe that.
Over the weekend, it just came down. It just we
wow.
haven't had a break at all. So yeah, you can borrow some of ours. That would be terrific.
We
would love
but
it.
It's
we
good practice
it.
For taking care of abscesses.
That's true. Rush. So, Jamie, are you back?
All right, I am back, and the child did not want to watch another episode, so we're going to have to get through this together. All right, so this is how this works, Mary and Taryn. I am going to ask you guys a question. We're going to go back and forth. I'm going to start with Mary, then three questions, and then we'll have a tiebreaker that we'll get to if we need it. Here, take my iPhone and go play with that. Don't call anybody. Thank you.
There'll be 65 traps on the phone by the time she's done.
Exactly. So if he calls you, just ignore it. So we'll start with Mary. I've got a question for you. We'll go back and forth. We have a tiebreaker. If we need that, I'll get to it. I'll explain it when we get to it. But did you guys go over Taryn's charity?
No, we did not.
Taryn, tell us about the charity you're playing for.
So I am playing for Helen Woodward. It is a vet hospital in Rancho Santa Fe, and they do a really great job with adoptions, dogs, horses, all kinds of animals, and they would love the prize that you guys are giving out that I heard about, the box of horse cookies. So that is what I am playing for. Hoping to get that.
Fantastic. Well, the head injury must prevail then. That's how we're going to have to work it.
Come on, handicap.
And we have not mentioned what the prize is yet. Let's have Jennifer do that right now.
Today's prize is a great big box of treats of all sorts from Uncle Jimmy's. Uncle Jimmy's hanging balls and licky things help to combat stall boredom by providing your horse entertainment in the stall, while at the same time providing them with much-needed minerals and nutrients that are often not found in the other treats or get left at the bottom of the box. Uncle Jimmy's has training treats covered, too, with Uncle Jimmy's Squeezy Buns. Every deliciously soft, squishy treat is individually wrapped for freshness and your pockets don't get gummed up. As for Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls, Licky Things, Squeezy Buns, or Pecker Wreckers at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can go online to uncle-jimmies.com.
Taryn, if you haven't heard of those, they would be the perfect gift from you. That's right, Pecker Wreckers, Licky Things, Hanging Balls. It's awesome.
Those
you guys
sound
got
amazing.
Great sense of humor.
Yeah, I love
All
it.
Right. Mary, we're going to go to your question. True, okay. I would like to say that I give this this disclaimer every time that if you don't like these questions or I am just the messenger, you can email Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com with all your complaints, and I'm sure she gets plenty. All right, so starting with question number one, Mary, this is going to be true or false. Now, I did hear that your horse's name, Mary, is Parcheesi.
Yes.
Okay, then this question makes sense. The board game Parcheesi was invented by Benedictine monks in the 15th century. Is that true or false?
True.
Oh. Seriously? Oh. Did you really think monks invented Parcheesi in the 15th century?
who else would?
That's true.
Good point. All right, Taryn, we go to you. It's true or false?
All right.
Disney films, Walt Disney films, have featured characters named Gustav as a goose, an alligator, and a giant, but never a horse.
Oh, I think that's false. Oh, my God.
Coming from your horse, Gustav. No, it's sadly, it was a goose, a giant, an alligator, but never a horse. I couldn't believe that either, so I had to Google it.
It's such a good horse name.
It is.
It is a good horse name, yeah. You're right.
All right. We're going to go to Mary now.
We're
Mary,
tied
we're moving
at
back
zero.
To you because, yep, tied, zip to zip, goose egg to goose egg, Gustav to Gustav. Here we go. What is the lowest level, Mary, at which the USEA has a 3-day dressage test? The lowest level.
Oh, there's a multiple choice.
Yeah.
Is there multiple choice? Okay. Multiple choice. Sorry.
Oh, good. Thank you.
The lowest level at which the UNC has a 3-day dressage test is either advanced, B, preliminary, or C, novice.
This is 3-day. That's the catch, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say preliminary.
They just added
when I'm not on the phone.
It's stressful, right?
Yeah.
Novice. They do novice 3 days now. Someday.
Okay.
Novice
I
3 days.
I hope Taryn knew that. Taryn, did you know that?
I did. I was like, pick me,
okay.
Pick me.
Yeah, pick her, pick her.
Taryn, we've got a multiple choice question for you. And
I bet it's about dressage.
That was my call.
Yeah. It's about eventing. So you should hopefully know this one. Here we go. And do not ask your husband. He's not allowed to help. Okay. Which of the following horses is not in the U.S. Eventing Hall of Fame? Not in the Hall of Fame. Is it A, Grasshopper, B, Irish Cap, or C, Charisma?
I would go B. Oh, my God. Is it Charisma?
Yes, it's Charisma.
Yeah.
not yet inducted. I'm sure Charisma will be there soon. But
come on.
We're still at a big fat 0-0 here, ladies. Fantastic work.
Proud
of you guys.
I know.
Okay. Mary,
yes.
I'm going to give you, Jennifer wrote this without multiple choice, but I thought it was too hard. So I'm giving you multiple choice on this one. Are you ready?
Bless your heart.
Since clearly you need all the help you can get. Okay.
Yes.
On what article of riding clothes would you find the vamp? Is it A, helmet, and it's a vamp, V-A-M-P. Helmet, B, boots, or C, jacket?
Boots.
Oh, that is right.
Wow,
yes,
finally.
Oh, no.
You didn't even need a multiple choice. Oh, Karen.
Well, no, I didn't need a multiple choice.
Okay. Gotcha. Just
to clarify for everybody, Jennifer, we didn't know what that was either, neither Jamie or I, and Jennifer clarified that it's a little part at the top, like in the old boots where they had the laces started. Apparently, that's called the vamp. I don't know.
Thanks, Cliff Clavin.
I didn't know. I just people are wondering what the vamp was. I have no idea.
Now you know. Okay. Now, Taryn, this is really an unfair question to a girl with a head injury. It's just unfair.
Oh, no. This is not good. All right, let's go. Let's go.
Taryn, let me ask you, though. Did you ever live in Massachusetts?
Sorry?
Did you ever live in Massachusetts at any point in your life?
No, never.
Oh, well,
no,
then it is unfair.
Go ahead. California girl. No, this is not fair. Okay. Worcester. Worcester is a city in Massachusetts and
Worcester.
Okay. Worcester. I bet if you're from there, it's probably pronounced a different way. All right. It's a city in Massachusetts and in England, and it's also a type of noseband. Spell Worcester.
Oh, my God.
Not fair.
And I know she's not Googling it because she can't spell it. So.
I know, right? Worcester. How do you spell Worcester, England? Can I get some help from my
Yes. Yes, you can.
W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R.
That's right.
Because
is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Oh,
good job.
That's right.
Way to go, James.
Yay.
Way to go, James.
He's here. He's helpful.
Only because he threw you under the bus. Husbanding,
right.
husbanding is allowed today.
I get
all
right.
Most people forget the R. You got that right. I was waiting for the W-O-C, and most people forget the R.
Oh, man.
I never would have got that. Never. All right, so we move to the tiebreaker, and this is how this tiebreaker works. So This is called Name That Movie. Okay, Name That Movie. And I'm going to start to read clues about a certain type of horse movie. Okay, as soon as you know the name of the horse movie, yell out your name. Your name is your buzzer. So that way I can differentiate between, because you girls, you know, all sound the same on the phone. So when you know the answer, yell out your name. Okay, you got it, Taryn?
Yes. I just hope I yell out my name. I hope I'm correct with that.
Don't yell out Mary. Yell anything.
Mary.
Mary.
Any
oh.
other name.
Mary.
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 You're fine. Yes.
I'm practicing
and I
want
to clarify
right now
that we have a venting against dressage here. So this is a showdown. This is a real showdown.
No.
Showdown.
Uh-oh. And we're just killing it with 1 point each.
I know. Whizzes that we are, Taryn.
Yeah, we're so smart.
At least you guys are funny as hell. I'm having a great time.
We got to have all some right. charm, you know.
Mary and Taryn, here we go. Name that movie. This film about a Palomino named Sneaky Pete was released in 1960 by Walt Disney Pictures. This film won the Academy Award for Best Documentary. Hugh Wiley competed this Palomino horse under the name Nautical. Flipping his tail in the air over fences was another one of Nautical's idiosyncrasies, giving the film its name.
Mary, horse with a flying tail?
That's right.
Yay!
Mary, you won. You were the best of the worst. Congratulations.
Yeah.
It actually crossed my mind to yell out Mary and say the wrong movie.
Oh, nice, Karen.
I know.
That's an adventure.
That's the
yeah.
Just get it done.
That's right. Get her done. Do what you have to win because, you know, you're just trying not to die. So.
Oh, my gosh. Congratulations.
Mary, did you know that at all, or did you just guess it off that last clue?
Vaguely, in the back of my mind, it made sense when she said the tail. So
yeah.
That was just,
no
it was
idea
very vague, was. Very vague.
I think, Mary, I don't know how old you are, but I do know Taryn and I are not old enough to have seen that movie in the 60s. So
okay,
I
confess,
think...
I do remember the movie from its original release. Okay, all right, you have to push things.
Rubbing it
Taryn.
In.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's why she's a dressage rider, because she's made it. She's made it that long, and she has realized that dressage is the way to go.
It is the way to go, yep.
Don't have that.
Oh, well, well, you guys have been...
You win Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls gift pack.
Well, thank you very much. And I am going to donate those to the St. Johns County Horse Council Tax Sale and Fun Day in October. So appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, listen, yeah. you're going to be attending this tax sale?
Oh, you bet. You bet. It's a big event that we have.
We'll have them sent to you so you can donate them there. That would be absolutely wonderful. And
thank you
and
so much.
We have been quality here today. Not only have we talked manure and hanging balls, we have covered a multitude of other topics, too.
We have one more topic. I have a piece of advice for Jamie, or maybe a piece of consolation for Jamie. With Lucas and his new dietary addition to his diet with the dog food.
Taryn, let me tell Taryn the story so she's up to date. Taryn, the other day, my son, who is 15 months old and, you know, really doesn't like to eat meat, and as a vegetarian, I've been very proud that he hasn't wanted to eat meat. I walked into the kitchen, and he had an entire mouthful of dog food that he was eating. Like, disgusting.
Oh, my gosh. Good baby.
Yeah.
Gotta get your protein somehow.
Mary,
that's
what's
right.
your piece of advice?
He's supplementing.
Okay, so the advice is, my husband's a family physician, and he had a patient, a young professional, come in with her 2-year-old, and that was all the child would eat was dog food.
Oh,
wow.
So we went to the grocery store, and he checked it out, and he found it to be perfectly nutritious and perfectly okay for the child. It had a little more fat than you would really want, but there was no problem with it.
Okay.
So I just wanted to let you know, when he goes back for a new food, it's okay.
Let me tell you that now he sits, and he'll go over to the dog food bowl, and he'll sit down, and he'll reach his hand over the bowl, and I go, "Don't you dare." And he'll look at me, and he'll look at me, and he'll pause, and I'll say, "Don't you do it." And he'll get his hand a little closer, and I'm like, "Don't you eat a dog food." And he grabs him and stuffs it in his mouth. Like,
oh, my
gosh.
Well, he's not hurting himself.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good thing I buy the expensive kind. Grain-free, just in case he's got gluten allergies. So
yeah, there you go. There you go. What more could you ask?
Thanks. I'm glad your husband, the doctor, says it's okay. I'll feel a lot better about it now.
There you go.
So,
yeah, I'm sure
Mary
you will.
Mary and Taryn, thank you guys both so much for joining us. We've run out of time. And Taryn, do tell James that he's on the hook next time. So we're going to totally give him some really hard questions.
Yeah, we need to redeem the Aventers for sure. I'm sorry I let you guys down.
Josh wins again.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
all right,
thank you guys. You guys drive
thank
safely,
you.
Taryn.
Thank
your
you. It was fun playing with you, Taryn.
You too, Mary. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That was fun.
That was super fun. What a great couple. That was great.
You know what I'm impressed by? That's the third one now that listen to our show in the last week that we've learned about that are doctors or have doctors in the family.
Wow.
We appeal to a much higher class of people than I ever thought.
We better step it up a little bit.
We got you. What are we doing?
I don't know. This is terrible.
Sound more intelligent now or something. I don't know. It's possible. So I guess we'll just keep doing what we're doing. They're listening anyway, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, now this celebrity thing has turned out to be fun. You know, it really has. We have had a good time with it every Wednesday. And I want to thank EquityMSG.com for supporting our celebrity challenge every week. It's a goofy, fun time. And, of course, all the people who donate the prizes, thank you to Uncle Jimmy's for being there for us, too. We appreciate it. And we'll
absolutely
make sure that Mary gets that for the charity. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with Road to the Horse. It's Road to the Horse Day tomorrow. Tammy will be here, and we'll be talking all about what's new and what's happened lately on Road to the Horse, and have some terrific guests. So be sure to tune in then. Jane will be back on Friday for Really Bad Ads. Don't forget to get your Really Bad Ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put Really Bad Ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. And I you still need some, right, Jennifer, for this week?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good. So get on Craigslist, people, like you do anyway. I mean, what the hell? You're sitting there anyway reading Craigslist. You all do. I think it's a horse person thing that they have to. It's required, like 20 minutes a day you waste reading Craigslist.
And Craigslist has revamped its site, and now it's super easy to find really bad ads. If you haven't seen the new Craigslist, go check it out. Oh, yeah, you got to look. It's great. It's great. You can scroll through it a lot faster now. So check it out. I've got to go because the baby's trying to throw my iPhone in the toilet. So love you guys. Spay, neuter, geld. I got to go get them.
Bye.
Bye.
See y'all tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern.